O Holy One, who knows our thoughts, our beings, our actions as intimately as we know ourselves, we come before you today seeking your wisdom and your knowledge, seeking to hear you speak to us yet again. And so, as we wrestle with sheep and goats, be with us. O mighty shepherd, be with us. Amen. Every minister has scriptures that they avoid preaching because it either makes them uncomfortable, or because they don't agree with them, or just because they don't know what to say. Today, our Called to Be Church program has invited us to listen to one of mine. It makes me want to run back to last week when we had an injured Samaritan on the road and love overflowing into action. I struggle with today's reading because of my understanding of the one we traditionally call Father. I struggle to believe that this loving Father and his Son would actually cast away children forever. With all the talk of sheep and goats, you might have missed the part of today's reading where Jesus says that people will be cast away into eternal fires prepared for the devil and his angels, that they would have everlasting punishment. These are harsh words, cutting words attributed to Jesus. And while we are willing to call Jesus Lord and King, we often shy away from Jesus as judge, especially here in the United Church. After all, that seems a little fire and brimstone for Sunday morning, especially a beautiful one like today. Working with this week's text, I wished and wrestled with the desire to redact the parts where Jesus is judging and condemning. Oh, how I wanted to just read, "Come, you that are blessed by the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then all the righteous said to him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and clothed you? And when you were sick or in prison, when did we visit you?" And the king answered them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did to the one of the least of these who is a member of my family, you did to me." That's that lovely part, that inspiring part, that part that is much more in line with my theology and my understanding of God and our part in God's world. But to hear only about the sheep and not mention the goats is to disregard half of what Jesus is saying in this parable. And while I'd really like to do this, if I'm to claim Jesus as Lord, Savior, Shepherd, I'd better listen to everything he's telling me, even if I don't like what I'm about to hear. And so I stand before him, and so we all stand before him, saying to us, everything that you did or did not do for the least among you, you have done the same to me. I said before, this is not an easy teaching. If we truly let it, it will pierce us. Because for every time I have given a blanket, gloves, or a granola bar to someone in need, I have also told someone on the street that I had no money on me, when somewhere deep down in the bottom of my bag, I knew there was a dollar or two. For every time I stopped to give directions or offer support, I've avoided eye contact with another. For every worthy charity I've supported, I have needlessly spent money on things I didn't need and ultimately didn't really want. Most of us, if we are honest, are equal parts sheep and goat. Most days alternating back and forth, sometimes maybe in the same hour. So as we stand with all the nations before Jesus, awaiting judgment, standing there, I cannot help but experience a sense of guilt, my own and our collective guilt, over that sin and systematic wrong that still prevails. Because think about it. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus told his followers, feed the hungry, let the thirsty drink, be with the outcast, the ill, the unclothed, and the prisoned. And yet, those groups on the margins still exist. Culturally, Matthew's gospel wasn't saying anything new in the ancient Near East. There were stories already circulating about how there would be a final judgment based on acts of mercy. What Matthew did was be explicit on what it means and raised the bar. Matthew's Jesus calls us to radical discipleship, to love that goes above and beyond, a love that mimics God's love. Think about it. Back in the day, he speaks of the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the unclothed, the ill, and the imprisoned. In the first century, that was huge. Caring for the sick back then put you at risk of infection. Prisons were filthy places, and sin was thought to be transmitted by keeping company with the wrong people. Discipleship was risky. And it still is risky business. It isn't easy to be sheep who strive to follow Jesus as the shepherd. But the missional call of the church, to care for the least as if Jesus' life hangs on the line, is the call that is still issued to us today. Well, this is starting to feel like a bummer sermon, isn't it? Yeah. And you came here to hear good news, right? Well, we have been born into a goat kind of world. And while Jesus raises the bar and asks us to risk for the sake of God, to risk loving those who we might not touch, we know that that's not always easy. So here's the hope that this kind of world is also a world where sheep can thrive, not just live, but thrive. A world where everyday people like you and I and committed communities make a difference. A world where collectively we can be the church, the sheep who follow the shepherd, the sheep that Scripture says have such an intimate relationship with Jesus that he knows our names. And we have the power to choose, to align ourselves with sheep or goats. We have the power to choose who we want to be. Here at St. Paul's, we have taken up Jesus' call most clearly through the ways we seek to feed the hungry through the pantry and brown bag programs. When we provide free vacation Bible school so that all can attend, we shelter those who are recovering from addictions And when, through your direct support, we have welcomed and continue to welcome refugee families, those who have had to leave behind everything, we are gathering at the feet of the one who loved us so greatly. As we pray each week in the parlor, and we worship in this great sanctuary, Jesus leads us to abundant fields where ourselves, where we can be fed and strengthened for the challenges of life. Proverbs 18:16 says, "A gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great." This proverb is true, isn't it? Through all of our giving and generosity, the great shepherd tends us. Through our opening ourselves, through giving of our resources, our time, our talent, and our treasure, the Spirit leads us from the pages of Scripture that both inspire and challenge our lives is leading you from the pages, from the standing there with sheep and goats, calling to you to go out of this church and back to the streets, to the nameless street between Jerusalem and Jericho that we visited last week, to the street that could be in front of your home or the street of your workplace or your neighborhood, to the street that runs through the heart of your relationships. For there is someone on that road in your life waiting for your thanksgiving, your gratitude to overflow in love. Imagine who that might be. Who is the someone that Jesus is drawing to your heart? Who is the hungry in the streets of your life, not just hungry for food, but for love? Who is the naked, not only lacking clothing, but deeply vulnerable? Who is the stranger, the outcast? Who is lonely? Who doesn't fit in? Who is sick in body or mind or spirit? Who is in prison, a literal prison or a thought prison? Or a shame prison, or a grief prison? Who is the great shepherd leading you to? Right now, in this moment, Jesus is calling you to draw nearer. You have the power to choose to respond. We, as a congregation, have the power to choose who together we are going to how we together are going to participate in the kingdom come. Now, there are many understandings of the kingdom in Scripture. Often we get a sense that it is this future thing, something to aspire to, something that we get at the end of our lives or when Jesus comes back. But there's also the sense of the kingdom to come that is now, being created here, that is something that we can experience today. I don't think Jesus is any more interested in separating sheep from goats than I am of separating my laundry. What he's really interested in is motivating the sheep to continue to build the kingdom, a kingdom of love and generosity, compassion and peace, a kingdom that the church prays for when we say, "Thy kingdom come," a kingdom that we're made for. The good news today is that Jesus leads us by the hand and the heart, individually and collectively, to experience him in the last and the least and the lost. When we are on the road, when the least is in front of us, when the lost is there, we have a choice. When we choose well, we hear Jesus calling out from the scriptures, calling into our lives, into the church's life, calling out with graceful authority as the shepherd calls across the veil. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Let the glory be to God, and let us choose well. Amen. Let us join in our hymn of response. Take my life and let it be. As St. Paul's, actually, I invite you all to sit down first. Except for you collectors. As St. Paul's United Church, we are people seeking to worship God, proclaim Christ, and serve others in Christ's name. We live into God's vision for us and for our community by the ministry that we do. As individuals, as small groups of people, and as a whole congregation. We also live into God's vision of healing and hope for our world right here in Fredericton with the gifts that you bring to the table today. Our time, our abilities, our financial resources are all a vital part of the ministry and mission St. Paul's has been given. And isn't it wonderful to know that we're not in this alone? In this moment, we are joined by other congregations in the United Church of Canada. And today, all of them will be sharing the abundance that God has given. Earlier in the service, while the kids were still here, I asked you to think about a way that you could, or are already, serving God in the next couple weeks. As the offering plates come around today, along with any financial gifts you may have to offer, take a second to recall the acts of service and offer them. Imagine putting them into the plate as well. Let our offerings of time, talent, and treasure now be received.